Let's start first things first with the Nashville Predators. They've lost four out of their last five. They're on the road tonight taking on Dallas. Here's the problem. If you're going, oh, still no big deal. You know, the Preds going to be fine as far as the playoffs. You've got a St. Louis team. They've played three fewer games than the Predators. They're 10-0 in their last 10. They've picked up 8 points on Winnipeg, 9 points on the Predators in these last 10 games. And oh, by the way, they played three fewer games. They're only 6 points behind the Predators. And even Dallas, they also in the same situation, playing three fewer games than Nashville. They're only 10 points behind the Predators going into this contest tonight. It would behoove the Predators to win this tonight, because all of a sudden you're giving Dallas the same kind of hope that St. Louis has right now.
Oh, absolutely. And you would like to think that these hot streaks can't continue, that at a certain point the Blues are going to cool off, come back to earth or something, or for goodness sakes, at least lose a game. You can't count on that. The Predators have to start. You know, last week when I went to over there on, you know, practice on Wednesday, you know, this remains a confident group. They've seen the highs of this team. The problem is they all know exactly what the problem is. They got to be consistent. They got to play, you know, at a good level regularly rather than what we've been seeing, and finding a way to push that switch, you know, from game to game, shoot, from period to period. You know, against the, you know, they came out and they were shooting pretty well in the first period. Then in the second period, you know, the Golden Knights just blitzed them. And boom, you know, it felt like the game was over at that point. So, you know, they've got to figure out a way to play a first period, a second period, a third period with the same level of intensity and consistency. And then, you know, maybe that would help be the key to get them playing better game to game to game. You know, they come, you know, they play Dallas tonight, then they're back home against the Kings on Thursday night. You know, and here's what makes it bad. St. Louis still has games in hand on the Predators. So, you know, you can look at the standings. It's a lot tighter than what it appears to be for that very reason. And shoot, the Jets, you don't get too complacent there thinking, oh, we're not that far behind. Again, the Jets have a couple of games in hand on the Predators. So, you know, they're the ones who have games in the books, and, you know, and they're the ones that, you know, Nashville Predators need to be feeling some sort of heat here, because, you know, granted, they lost in 7 games on home ice last year in the second round, Johnny, but, you know, you usually like to at least start a series with some home ice. You know, here's the thing. You really want to go from winning the division last year to now trying to hold on to the third spot in your division. You know, these teams are coming, and it's February 19th. It's time to, you know, start playing with some sense of urgency.
And look, I mean, here's the Predators, still 21 games to go, but when you talk about these teams, even the Chicago Blackhawks, you know, they're tied for last in the Central with Colorado, but Chicago 8-2 in their last 10 games. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could catch Nashville. You know, it's not a given that the Predators are going to make the postseason. I mean, there's three teams ahead of them right now in the Western Conference with points. It's not like Nashville can just sleep walk in over these next 21 games and make it to the playoffs, because I bring up the fact that they started off 13-3. Since then, 21-19-5. Put it this way, if they were doing 21-19-5 and that kind of play over the course of the entire year, we're not talking about a playoff team.
No, and that's a very real thing. It's probably why, you know, that's why my hunch is that David Poile makes a move between now and the deadline at 2 p.m. on Monday, but, you know, for that very reason, if nothing else, to, you know, shake some things up. You know, the team that said, you know, last, you know, at the end of the playoffs last year and into the summer, stick with us, we believe we can do it. Well, guess what? They're not showing it right now, Johnny. So, you know, you make a move with your David Poile, you can say, you know, obviously this team needs something. You know, you can look at the power play rankings, you know, the records over the last few weeks. You know, the injury excuse is gone at this point. You know, they've got guys back. If you're waiting for Mika Salamaki to come back from IR to suddenly be the switch, then, you know, that's likely not the thing that's going to kick things into gear for this team. So really tough to think that there's not a move coming, if only for that reason, to just remind guys that, you know, yeah, jobs are on the line here.
I go back to what we heard in recent weeks, you know, like with communication issues on the ice. I'm just going to throw this out there, because when you look at the talent, this team is not living up to, you know, record-wise what they have talent-wise on the ice. And it makes me wonder You know, one of the things this team had going for it, you know, a couple years back is the fact that you had still a very hungry group and you had, you know, no-name players making a difference once they got to postseason and that trip, to, you know, to the Stanley Cup final, if you recall. I wonder if some of that hunger has now left the building.
It might be that, and you know, but here's the thing, you know, the hunger could start in the postseason, but again, you've got to make sure you're there. And at this point, you know, you would hope the Predators looking around saying, start the scoreboard watch a little bit. If whatever it takes to get them going, you know, yes, they can play hockey at a very high level. When they're buzzing, when they're, you know, speeding up and down the ice and the passes are going stick to stick, they look great. We have not seen that in a very long time, you know, except for a few minutes here and there. And, you know, you can't count on that. So I'm not sure what it's going to take for them to feel that sense of urgency. That's why, you know, the trade deadline coming up is, you know, that's, again, I go back to that. I think that's why a move ends up being made, if nothing else, to send the message, guys, snap out of it.
Well, it makes me wonder, too, when you look at teams that certainly could catch the Predators, both in the Central and the Pacific, on a bright note, despite the Predators not really playing all that great of hockey over this 10-game stretch, the fact that you have teams like Minnesota, Colorado, Vegas, Vancouver, Arizona, Anaheim, all playing much worse than the Predators during the stretch.
Ding, ding, ding. I mean, you know, right now it's just not been impressive hockey. You know, they win a game and you think, oh, this is the moment where they start turning it around, and then they go to Vegas and fall on their faces there. You know, maybe going to the Cotton Bowl yesterday to get a look and a glimpse at, you know, the Winter Classic that the Winter Classic that they're going to play next year. Johnny, this is why I'm in print. Sometimes my tongue just trips over itself. Maybe that gives them something, but again, you know, looking for answers, you know, to a puzzle that we didn't think that this team would be running into, and I think that may be part of the worrisome fact about, you know, what's going on here.
Having a chance once again to visit with Teresa Walker with the Associated Press, let's turn our attention to Knoxville, the now number 5 team in the country in college basketball, the Tennessee Vols, playing host to Vanderbilt. As I was throwing out there, you know, Tennessee, and you hear what Rick Barnes says after the game, talking about selfish play, the lack of teamwork. A championship team does not like to hear those things and those kind of words describing their play. And I think in so many ways, you know, this game could go either way, but there's a reason why Tennessee, a heavy favorite tonight at home against Vanderbilt. To me, this is like almost the worst case scenario for Vanderbilt going into Knoxville, knowing what Tennessee and what happened to them over the weekend.
It's kind of what happened to the Vols on Saturday night. Kentucky lost a game to LSU that, you know, a lot of people in blue didn't think they should have lost. And, you know, they were not happy. And in Rupp Arena, John Calipari does not lose back-to-back games, not with the Wildcats. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, they came out and they literally almost jumped on the Vols to start with. Kind of expecting that similar thing tonight in Knoxville because, you know, the Vols aren't happy. You know, that 19-game winning streak and all the warm and fuzzies gone. You've dropped from number 1 to number 5. And, you know, suddenly you've got to remind people why you were in the conversation to be not just the number 1 seed, but possibly the number 1 overall seed. And, you know, now you're trying to prove that you deserve to possibly be a number 1 seed. So they got to get back on the, you know, on the horse, so to speak. And here comes Vanderbilt looking desperate to, you know, avoid Here's the tough thing. If they lose tonight, 14 straight losses will match the longest skid in school history. And you got to go back to the – it spanned two seasons, 1934-35 to 1935-36. That's a very long time. It's why Commodore fans are so, so, so unhappy. You know, they it's almost like they want, you know, Brent Bryce Drew, you know, crying and, you know, pleading. I'm not sure what emotion they're wanting out of him. You know, I do know this. They are very unhappy. It's not the season they expected at all from the beginning of the season. And, you know, they're desperate for a win. And sometimes a desperate team can be a dangerous team. But that said, got to think Tennessee, there's a reason why the spread for this game is so strong and large. It's because they're expecting that similar bounce-back effect for the Vols.
Yeah, 96% chance for Tennessee, according to the ESPN predictor, 96%+ chance to win this game against Vanderbilt tonight. And you bring up Vanderbilt with that losing streak. Yeah, you're 83 years ago. That's if you lose tonight, you match that record. This is in the same season as we're talking about Tennessee before they lost to Kentucky on Saturday night, the longest winning streak in the history of their program with 19 straight. But the things that irk me, and I don't know if what you think about this, I don't want to hear, you know, compliments after another loss, after this losing streak continues. I don't care what team, what sport you're talking about. You know, there's things that you can control. You can't control the outcome necessarily if the other team is just better. But you can control things like being prepared, your effort, and your attitude. I don't want to hear compliments about those things after a loss. Only time I want to hear those things addressed is when you don't have those things, when your team didn't do enough as far as preparing or listening or and paying attention to the coaches or not putting in a full effort or having a terrible attitude on the court. That's the only time I want to hear a coach on a losing end of a game talk about those things, because as I was talking about on the show yesterday, to me, those three things, just like brushing your teeth in the morning. Your thoughts?
Well, good point. It just hurts right now. I mean, you know, over there at Vandy, you know, they for so long they were talking about trying to fix, you know, free throws and rebounding. They did pretty good against that on Saturday. Unfortunately, you know, it feels like they're addressing one area and then another pops open. You know, on Saturday they couldn't knock down threes. You know, this is normally a good three-point shooting team. But, right now, nobody wants to know that, oh, yeah, they're one of the few schools to hit a three for so many, you know, consecutive games. It doesn't matter. And then another thing that bit them, you know, they were 14 of 15 at the free throw line in the second half, Johnny, but they kept turning the ball over. Auburn scored 17 points to zero. You know, that was the difference on points off of turnovers. And, you know, that you fix one thing, though, it's another thing. And I know that no one wants to hear about the youth, yada, yada, but this is a young team, and, you know, it's tough to fix everything that keeps popping open.
Well, as far as the turnover factor, every game except for one, we're talking about more turnovers than assists. And usually it's like what we got on Saturday, where the team usually has twice the number of turnovers than assists.
Yep. At this point, I don't have an answer that is going to make anyone happy, except, guess what? There's a couple of nice signees coming in this fall, and, you know, maybe Vandy gets another win or two here down the rest of the stretch. But right now it's looking like their season ends painfully and quickly on the first night of the SEC tournament on March 13th.
Hey, the other part of that it's really hard for me to really grasp is the fact that when we talk about these turnovers from this Vanderbilt team is the fact that in some cases, you know, during this stretch, we're talking about more turnovers committed than baskets made. I mean, that is such an unusual stat, and it's not like it happened just one time. I mean, it happened on Saturday. It's happened during this stretch, and that's the part that's even more, you know, hard to digest, if you know what I mean.
I know. It's just inconceivable. You know, they come out and they play really well for some stretches, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of disappears. You know, players, you know, they can make some good plays, and then there's, you know, times the, you know, player's got the ball in his hands, and it's like, what is going on here? So it's not good. It's a mess over there right now, and trying to get it fixed when you're in the midst of the season in an SEC, Johnny, that is much, much tougher than it's been in a long time is just, it doesn't make it any easier.
Teresa Walker joining us again from the Associated Press. By the way, tomorrow night, LSU plays host to Florida down in Baton Rouge. I'm pretty sure that Tennessee wants LSU to take care of business. I don't think they want a repeat opportunity of what happened like last week with Kentucky, as you mentioned earlier, losing to LSU on the last second shot, tip-in. They probably want Florida to go quietly into the night against LSU tomorrow night in Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge, because we look at this early start time on Saturday, 11 a.m. start time. Usually in a case like that, that really helps the traveling team, because the team that's had to pack the bags and take the trip, they know they're there on business and they're there for a reason. And usually the home team in those situations, they're at a disadvantage, especially when you're talking about two very highly matched up teams like with at Tennessee and LSU coming up on Saturday.
Well, I don't think it matters what time they play. It just feels like that's a game that, you know, Kentucky's going to be very ready for. You would hope that LSU is, because, you know, all Willie's got to do, Johnny, is put on some tape, you know, for the first few minutes of what they did in that second half to Tennessee. What was it, they scored the first 14 points of the second half. I mean, it was almost ridiculous the run they opened that second half with. And, you know, just remind them of that. And, yeah, they're going to have home court, et cetera, but this is, you know, Wildcats are going to be coming for them. You know, get a little payback, because guess what? The best way to make up for a home loss is with a road win, and that could be impressive.
I don't know which is more, you know, stranger. We look at last year with Tennessee and Auburn ahead of everybody, including Kentucky in conference play. And here we are going down the stretch run as far as the men's basketball schedule this year, and both LSU, Tennessee ahead of Kentucky in the SEC.
Hey, that's what happens. You know, Greg Sankey and Mike Fly before him have been trying to get the SEC up to speed and, you know, trying to show what they can do in this league and, you know, when they put their attention in basketball, and that's what's happening. It's the, you know, there are resources at these other schools. You know, LSU has got a history of success going back to Dale Brown when they had Shaq back in the day. Tennessee, you know, yes, you can go back to the Bernie and Ernie show, Bruce Pearl's tenure, but, you know, they had a chance with Jerry Green to go, you know, to an Elite Eight and just couldn't finish out North Carolina once. So, you know, there's been these moments and these little spurts. You know, the challenge is going to be for the SEC to continue this beyond these couple of years and show that they can keep growing this. But, you know, it's a good thing for this league when that's happening. So I'm just really curious to see if they can, because if they do, that makes it a lot more fun. You know, the problem is, and this is why Vandy fans are so disappointed right now and upset, is that they thought Vandy would be one of those teams vying to, you know, be one of the best in the conference, and unfortunately they're at the bottom.
Yeah, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU, all three teams ranked in the top 13, both Tennessee and Kentucky in the top five. All three teams a combined 65-10 going into action tonight